where then the people they've been communicating with really quite successfully essentially thumb their noses at them. And so we then launched the We Will Remember campaign. And in 2000, we raised over $2 million for candidates for the House and the Senate. And in fact, that was a significant transition point for us, because the original Move On campaign was a very transpartisan campaign. I'm using the term transpartisan because I'm also part of a group called Reuniting America, which is trying to get people to talk across all sorts of different political perspectives. And we had Democrats, Republicans, Green Party, Libertarians, Independents could agree that it was time to censure the president and move on to issues of pressing issues in the country. But after the impeachment, because the political side of the story was that it was a Republican pursued impeachment, move on was, and we went out to our members and we affirmed that our members wanted to change the leadership in the House and the Senate. And so that was our mandate at that point. And from that point forward, we've really been much more perceived as working on getting Democrats elected. Though there have been occasions, as with Joe Lieberman, when we worked to get other Democrats elected. It was close, but not quite. It's been quite the adventure. And Eli Pariser, who is 26, is the executive director of Move On. He's amazing. As is the whole Move On team, which is approximately 16 people. Our mission is to enable our membership to act on issues which they care most passionately about. After the 2004 election, a lot of our members were saying, okay, we've got to have, what is the progressive message? Let's hear this. There was a lot of accusation wasn't there. And we spent time to design a process whereby members all around the country got together, well over 10,000 of them. It took about a year to really design something, talk and go more deeply about what is the progressive message. And then we sent that out to the full base. We had about a dozen top proposals that came in, and the Move On membership said healthcare, global warming / clean energy, restoring democracy. So, and we already knew getting out of Iraq was a primary Move On. We wanted a positive agenda. So that is, the basis from which we make a lot of our decisions. Our job as organizers is to be listening to our membership at all times, and to do our best to help them participate in the political dialogue in the most meaningful way they possibly can. That's our job. Now, you may say, why am I sitting here next to this lovely book called The Motherhood Manifesto? And that has to do with the fact that I started a new group, online organization called Moms Rising, last year for Mother's Day. 3 years ago, I read a piece of data that just kind of caused my jaw to drop. And that is that I had thought that the wage gap between men and women, it really kind of diminished and we were really doing quite well. Well, it turns out between men and women that have no children, it's about 10%. We're doing pretty well. Between men and mothers, it's about 27%. And between men and single mothers, 40%. Ever wonder why there's so many women and children in poverty? I thought that gave me a good clue as to what might be happening. And it also tells me why there's so few women in leadership. Because we have a traditional linear career expectation that is undermining really smart people I want in leadership, because I want their voices there. And it's unnecessary. There are a lot of options that we're not looking at. And so in an effort to further, you know, policy change and culture change, this is an area where people can come together across partisan lines, across cultural lines, and across economic lines. We share a great deal in this arena. Not everyone's a mother, but everyone here has or has had a mother. It's a universal. You got that one down. And, you know, most of us like our mothers, I think. I don't, you know, profound bias. Shelley Carell did a study last year. Same qualifications, one resume reveals that the woman happens to be a mother, 79% less likely to be fired. Yeah, this is not some kind of odd thing that happened. The opening story of the Motherhood Manifesto is about a woman, Kiki Picard, that moved from New York to Pennsylvania because she couldn't afford to raise her kids in New York. And she thought, no problem, I got a great resume, I got great references. She went out looking for a job, and the first question she asked, are you married? Do you have children? She could not get a job. She's been trying to get a law passed in Pennsylvania for the last 10 years, making it illegal to ask those two questions. And she still hasn't gotten it passed. And I was in Washington, D.C., where I was talking to a group of legislators and their assistants about this problem. We're going to show this documentary in the evening. It was hosted by Senators Clinton, Obama, Dodd, and Kennedy. And I'm telling them that story, and they say, well, that's illegal, isn't it? And at the same time, in Pennsylvania, Cooper, one of the Moms Rising members, is on the radio show explaining to someone that's calling in that you need this law. And he said, no, I'm a small business owner. I don't want to have to hire single mothers. And not just one, but she had three small business owners call her while I'm explaining that really this is a problem. Mm-hmm. Take it seriously. And the fact is, yeah, you're not supposed to ask mothers questions and treat them differently than you would fathers, but there's no way in the world that you're ever going to know what that potential employer asks the next person coming in. And you're no way you're going to know. We really have to think about this. We're making an impossible decision. So we started Moms Rising, and we now have 120,000 members. We started Families Rising for Father's Day because, let's face it, these issues affect us all. And I think it's key that we start expanding the base of people participating in the political dialogue. We still have half our population not showing up to vote. They're turned off by different aspects. Maybe the polarization, maybe the issues aren't meaningful. These are kitchen table issues. And I think we're going to get a different group of people showing up. And I think we're going to get people building bridges and making connections. That's what we need to do. Because we need to, you know, grow a really massive base of citizens in this country that are thinking a long term. And, you know, I'm sorry to say it, but our politicians often think about the next election more than long term. And our corporations, if we're lucky, think next year as opposed to next quarter, and they have more influence than I want them to. A massive base of citizens is the alternative I'm hoping for. But it's way harder to grow this group than it is Montreal, because you know why we have this? Because this is never a front page issue. On Mother's Day, you might get mother's issues on the front page. Actually, it's extraordinary. The S-chip has been on the front page this week. That's extraordinary. And Moms Rising and Move On have to work together. He's still my heart. Yeah. But yesterday was a bad day. They did not override the veto. But we got two more weeks. Grow the base, double it, and in 2 weeks, we'll do it again. Some things you just gotta make happen. So that's the very short Moms Rising story, along with the very short Move On story. And since this is supposed to be a discussion, what would people like to talk about? Yes.
I'm interested in you breaking down a little bit more of the base. You said it's 3 million right now. I guess it's kind of a two-part question. One, what does it mean to be a member of Move On? What's the commitment you're making on the front end? And then if you were to kind of quantify the 3 million, I'm trying to get a picture of the different various levels of leadership. I mean, I'm assuming there's some people that are right there and every day or several times a week are very active, and there's people that maybe once in a while, if there's something like SCHIP that comes up, I write a letter. Mm-hmm. But I have no sense for what that 3 million really means.
We have the Operation Democracy group. If you take a look online, there's I think it's called People Power Politics. It talks about the lead up to the 2006 election. I don't know if you followed this, but Move On members made over 7 million calls prior to the election in 2006. And Move On has been this wonderful place to bring people together around issues and then to offer them opportunities to engage at whatever level they are able to. So if you can just sign a petition, that's worth it. But if you can deliver a petition of 100,000 signatures of your fellow Move On member, that's really great too. Or hold a rally or vigil. So it's, and you know, we did 50 Ways to Love Your Country in 2004, and we sent out a message to, say, 10,000 members or something. We got a couple thousand stories back. And you know, the answer is that there's, you know, this vast number of ways to participate. One guy said, you know, I don't do rallies, but I write a letter to my editor once a week in my, you know, old 100-year-old schoolhouse up in Maine. That's what this guy does. And that's the right contribution for him. So in terms of, you know, breaking out the Move On membership, you know, we've got the letter from the single mother, you know, I worked all day, and this was one of the first letters I got when I was absolutely new at Move On. I work all day, I get home, I make dinner, I feed my child, I help him do his homework, I get that, I never had anything political. Thank you. You've made it possible for me to do that. So, yeah, to me, that voice is absolutely as important as the voice of those people that are delivering it.
Is it, so I can click on, say, I want to be an active member if I want to go in there right now, and mm-hmm. be a member.
Yes.
I don't have to pay any money or...
No.
And then the staff, the 16 staff people are the ones that come up with a list of potential actions for Move On base to take on, or is there...
By and large, yes.
People online that propose these things.
People
leadership.
Online are proposing things all the time. We're all...
But you guys
it's an interactive... It's about us listening and looking for mm-hmm. the places where there's the most energy and the most opportunity. And, you know, finding the best, hopefully, the sweet spot. Yes.
Hi, my name is Andrei Intok. I am from Ukraine. And thank you very much for coming here, because in my organization, we looked at Move On.org as an example, and a great example to follow, actually, in our own trying to engage the public through using the internet, and the name of our organization is Maidan. We succeeded to build the largest website on grassroots political news in Ukraine ever seen, but that situation held from 2002 to 2004. Now, we had a lot of participants, subscribers that especially played a beautiful role in the Orange Revolution. However, when we tried to, it was when there is a crisis, when there is a popular issue, it was quite I wouldn't say it was easy, it was very difficult, but it was possible to attract a lot of media attention, a lot of people who are like internet users attract to our website. We got a lot of subscribers, viral marketing, and so on. Mm-hmm. When we tried to move to issues like beauty in, from popular issue to a particular very important one, it proved, you know, just much more difficult. Would you have like some advice, you know, how to deal with this, what to consider when you try to tackle very specific issues?
Oh,
you concentrated on one, I mean, there are probably some more.
It's, I mean, over time, working with your list, you learn who the people are and what they care the most about. And that's one of the things we learned. It's not our issue. I mean, there was one time we went out, and this was in 2000. Okay, this is like brain dead. We have nuclear missiles on alert, returning to 2000. Here's a good time to say, let's de-alert the nuclear missiles. It was not one of our most impressive outreaches. It did not, you know, I knew it was the only sane thing to do, and I think most, but people didn't want to think about it. People, you know, it was not. So, you know, it was like, okay, I guess it's just what they want. Now, this is more educational, the mantra I think, so I'm learning about that. We wrote a book, got the DVD, because, you know, some people like books, some people would rather have a party and have a DVD, or watch it at home alone. We have blogging online, Yeah, we're doing, and we have 85 aligned organizations. We have women's organizations, we have mothers' organizations, child advocacy, unions, faith community, healthcare. Yeah, so we're doing a whole set of different complementary things for this, which is a very different set of issues. So that's the other thing, is you have to, if you've got the front, page issue, everyone knows about it already. When you have to do education, you have a lot more work to do. It's tough.
But still, the goal is to change the legislation, right?
Sometimes that's the goal. Sometimes the goal, this goal is culture change, it's legislation, it's, you know, helping people share their stories so that in businesses, they start realizing that, in fact, if they become more attuned to the needs of all their workers, they'll be more positive. University of California, this is a university, they did a study and they noticed, you know, you have more women graduating with PhDs than men, yet the tenure track was predominantly male. Looked at it, they seem to be slipping out when they had children. Mm-hmm. Tenure tracks is really this time when there's very little forgiveness. They did something that was, you know, kind of simple. They extended the opportunity to have a longer tenure track. It's equitable. Men can do it and women can do it. And then we have women with children in tenure. You shouldn't have to choose between having a child and having a career. So, yes.
Sorry, it's an honor to meet you. I lived in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, and you know, Katrina was that issue that, you know, kind of brought a whole lot of issues like sexism, racism, environmentalism. It just kind of, it was like the event that lost faith in the Bush administration. So, but the issue is, since that point, it's Katrina has been on the side burner. You know, Iraq is pretty, I definitely think Iraq's a really big problem. Like, from the perspective that I come from, the hardest thing is trying to get communities of color interested in, you know, the efforts that MoveOn does, because it's a really important thing, but particularly women of color, because whenever I see the television, like, it's all, you know, whenever you see progressive, it's always typically man, you know, standing up for those issues. So I'm wondering, like, what has MoveOn done to particularly outreach to communities of color other than colorofchange.org, which is a byproduct of MoveOn?
I would say hurricane housing. you know, hurricane passing was what MUFON did when right after Katrina. It's like everyone dropped everything and said, okay, this is what we need to do right now, and they put together a housing system where, you know, hurricane victims found houses around the country. There were thousands and thousands of connections made. But, you know, beyond that, it's a staff of 16, and it's the primary issues of our base. That was a time when our base was totally there for that. It was actually a really wonderful book. We've got a book about that. I think it's Hurricane House, but it's the stories of, you know, these people that came together that might particularly interest.
What's the average income, you know, like of the people on MUFON?
Yes.
Do you ever get any criticism about the types of issues that you pick, and do people wonder about the type of issues that you pick? Because that's the question of legitimacy can be raised maybe, or like what constituency do you have, even the issues that you pick? Do you get criticism?
I would say we get criticism about everything we do. And it's just about level of criticism. And the way we choose things is, you know, based upon member input. So generally speaking, we've done it because, you know, it's a substantial priority for our base. And that's how we choose them.
But it's not that you have a way to measure that.
Oh, we have all sorts. We do surveys all the time. Every day there's surveys going out. And it, you know, it keeps on rotating around the base about whatever's going on. If we ever have an outreach we think it's a good idea and we're going, is this there or not yet, we'll do a survey right then. And you know within an hour if the issue is, in fact, one that resonates to the base. So, yeah, it's through the membership that, yeah. It's a give and take. It's a conversation.
Majority rules? Type of mentality?
Wisdom of crowds. There's a really good book called The Wisdom of Crowds. And the bottom the part of that I'm referring to is the part that says that absent certain negative dynamics, a crowd will make a better decision than an expert. And so we are trying to leverage the wisdom of our base. And it's been a very wise base so far. That's been my experience of it. Yes?
Can you talk about what you think is the best technology for grassroots organizations and then what you think is coming down the line with the new Web 2.0?
I'm not a technologist. I've certainly seen that it can be a huge amount. I mean, the technology is pretty much irrelevant for except for how simple. It has to be simple and easy. The less friction there is, the better. Now, the other question is, what else is there? I think there are going to be great opportunities with cell phones, with text messaging. Yeah, the internet is, you know, just a form of communication. It's one form of communication that's highly effective for organizing. But, you know, MUFON is not exclusively the online part, it's just all these different pieces. And I think, you know, it will become more rich as other opportunities are developed. It's our job to keep on looking at these opportunities, and every organizer should be thinking, okay, what else can I do? I think there was some really excellent organizing done around the integration. Well, I think a lot of that might have been done myself. I want to find some of those organizers and talk to them. That's one of my objectives to them.
Do you think some of our primaries and gets involved in political races, do you see moms rising, doing the same thing down the line, helping women choose candidates?
I would hope that this time around we have the resources to really promote that all candidates put these issues on their platform. That's our objective this time around. But when we get really large, but I would hope we will engage more broadly and more deeply someday, yes. Other questions? Yes.
I'm wondering if you could maybe share with us your theory of how change happens in American politics, and then within that, where you see Move On or On This Rising kind of fitting in. And in particular, I guess I'm particularly curious about virtual networks of people who may or may not be meeting face-to-face, and is it necessarily that, I mean, you know, in terms of the petitions you described, a lot of skepticism that those petitions do any good. Is the point of those petitions really to get people engaged with the issue more than it is to actually make an influence? And then is the lever of power for individuals something other than simply giving money to a campaign?
Okay, boy, that's a lot of questions. Let me see if I can. First, change is way too slow. But more than that, in terms of, you know, the petitions, press people used to ask me all the time, well, do petitions really matter? Does anyone really pay attention to them? And my answer is, well, I know Move On petitions they matter a great deal. It brings together a community of people that care about this issue. And then what we're there to do is give them the phone number of their representative or their senator when something's coming up that's relevant to this issue, to tell them if there's an opportunity to do something with the press. And when it comes to election time, whoever's representing them isn't reflecting their values, to help them find someone that does. And, you know, certainly we have been less successful than I like sometimes. But, you know, the 2006 outcome, you know, the amount of work that Move On members put into it for not just for more than a year, you know, with, you know, the red-handed campaign and paying for advertisements. You know, one of the funny things about Move On is our members have been educating us all along. It was way back in the run-up to the Iraq War that we sent out an email saying, well, do you want to put up an ad in the New York Times opposing the war? Let the inspections work. And we were hoping to raise $25,000. And we raised $200,000+. And we went, oh, you know, people are willing to pay to be heard. And so ever since then, you know, we know advertising is one of the things that we can initiate and help people do. And we, you know, create ads and we say, do you want this? And they give us whatever amount of money it is that they think it's worth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's a real, in that sense, direct democracy. But, you know, for people that say, well, does the petition mean anything? Well, you know, if you want to ignore the people that are going to fund the other candidate, sure. Yeah. I think when a Move On member signs a petition, it's a powerful voice because all together, we do amplify each other's voice pretty darn effectively in some cases. Yes?
I'd like to address the difference between cultural change and political change. You saw that in 1998, you had your campaign and you may have elected representatives, but still impeachment went on. Certainly in 2006, and 2006 we elected people to Congress who were against the war, but we see that nothing has really happened in terms of that as well, which engenders a lot of frustration. There's a model on the right, focus on the family. Now, from my understanding of focus on the family, every time you get a request for information, there's a reply that goes out within 48 hours from the headquarters, and sometimes, if at all possible, they have a local member come and contact that person to ask them within that, their own community. So it's, my understanding is that it was a community of faith that then reached out into a culture of politics. And I'm wondering about that. My feeling is that concentrating on legislation, concentrating on politicians, delegates our power to them. Lech Walesa was asked, how did solidarity start? And he said it started by talking loud at the bus stops. And how do you move from political change to cultural change, from cultural change to political change, so that you're not locked into petitions, lobbying, trying to get a recalcitrant congressperson or a senator to do something which may not make any difference, which may just be a grandstand play?
It's a great question. I don't have the answer. I think move on is doing a really good job of being a voice out there for progressive change. And we've had some substantial disappointments in leadership at times. And it's one of those things where, when you're working on issues like peace, you don't give up. You just have to keep going. You have to keep on looking for the opportunities to make it happen.
Can I break off a little piece of this? What are the mechanisms that you see Move On or Mothers Rising using in order to make that, build up the culture change? Okay, meetups, small group meetings, all of those kinds of things that might result in cultural change that will shift to the ground underneath the Congress critters.
Well, for Moms Rising, cultural change is a big part of it, a bigger part of it, than, because it's about changing work culture. It's about changing perceptions we have about the way we're supposed to live. And it's about us telling stories to each other about successes that don't look like what we've been seeing before, such as the story about UC Berkeley and Jim Johnson, who's in, and this guy's a conservative Republican. He's I'm a Republican. This is a 100-year-old moving business. But you heard Jim Williams talk about how inflexible work policies worked against mothers more than anyone else. And when he went to his HR person and asked, is that true? She went, yeah. And he changed his work policy as a result of that. And his profits went up, and he could recruit, people that he hadn't been able to recruit before. And, so you get this loyalty going on. And that story, that reality in that story is something that will, work towards that tipping point of cultural change in business. And, at the high end, you've got, the investment firm in Deloitte and Touche working out a lattice work because they're recognizing that they've got this brain drain going on. Because it has to happen. And so you've got, this convergence of, there's become this need for these workers, and you're making it impossible for them. You have to make it possible for them to take care of families. And men are starting to want to be, more active, which is wonderful. So that's culture change happening in, through your playbook, through your house parties, through, exchanging information online. And I think there are all sorts of networking sites where people are just experimenting and beginning to learn, what are the other ways we can be creating these connections? And ultimately, I hope it's going to be creating connections and creating community that can be the beginning of change. But, one of the things about online organizing is about having it be a two-way street. What's so kind of monomaniacal about broadcast culture is it's one way. And the opportunity of the internet is a conversation. And too many, organizations and people have only, they're so used to the one-way broadcast medium that they continue to broadcast. And I think the most successful organizers are the organizers that are really actively working on that two-way dialogue. And the more you can listen effectively and create ways of doing that, the better.
Joan, hi, I'm Arietta from Berkeley, California, here for a year. I just wanted to say hi. And to tell you, I got an interesting, I work in city government there, and I got an interesting email last night from my colleagues at work asking me, in my time space here at Harvard, could I look into how local government in Berkeley can set up a two-way dialogue with the community? And I did write back telling them, reminding people some time ago that you and the people at MoveOn tried to help us work on a general plan and the development of a 17-year overdue conversation we had to have with the community. MoveOn came in to try to help us set up the dialogue, and we were too inadequate as a local government to deal with it. And so one of the things I will be emailing back is that you were here, and they should talk to you again. Maybe.
Well, actually, not that. There's something called Kitchen Table Democracy.
Yeah, we've been working with them.
Those are the folks you've been working with.
But somehow, well, you
know, that was the Action Forum that we were testing out.
Correct.
And Action Forum is something we used for many years, and we haven't been able to use of late.
Well, we've actually worked with them a little bit. It is something, though, that local governments are asking, and how they can find what they feel are neutral conduits into the community. And sometimes, for whatever reason, some of the conduits that we're seeing are seen as possibly biased or whatever. And is there some conversation we can start with government about this? I mean, that you think might be productive?
I'm sure there's a conversation.
I might not have time right now.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
That would
be great.
Thank you.
So over the past 3 or 4 years, you've experimented in supplementing the online organizing with more traditional on the ground and done it on different levels.
As you know very well.
From your perspective, what it costs a lot of money, but how have you looked at what's worked the best enough as far as supplementing the online? And I know you're kind of balancing where you go in the future, but what's your analysis been over the past 4 or 5 years of how it, you know, what direction it should be going?
Maybe there's a little bit of background that's necessary for this question, because people might not know what you do or did for MoveOn. So,
So I helped organize the staff that worked on the campaigns and in between the campaigns to provide the personal to on-the-ground organizers. And we tested a bunch of different levels of, can you have 10 organizers across the whole country, or do you have 200 organizers or 500? And it's an interesting balance of, is that what you should put your resources into and money, or can you do it all online and not have that personal face-to-face interaction?
We have found that, you know, having some personal is very helpful. And one of the things I love about MoveOn is there's a desire to really optimize and quantify and look, okay, you know, when we go out and we have events, organized events, press events about, say, the Supreme Court. We quantified, okay, how many people showed up, how many people got pressed there, did having someone personal they could talk to increase the success of the event? And we always ask the members, how successful was the event? You know, rate it from 1 to 10. So that it's a learning process for us, so that we always do it next time better if we can. Sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. But that is the goal. And you know, that's one of the reasons I think the 2006 work was as successful as it was because we did 2004 work. And there were some things that were a little bit clunky that we smoothed out and really helped on the program. So. Yes, and then.
I just wanted to ask about how you're trying to leverage commitments out of candidates for 2008. Because in a way, the 2006 story is a mixed one, right? Great success at helping get people elected, somewhat less success at them doing what you want. And there's a really unique moment of vulnerability that happens, as you well know, in the run-up, particularly in the primaries. And it's not much time left in that. Some say it's over already. I don't believe it. But there's at least a few months left in the Democratic primary. And I'm curious to know some of the ways in which MoveOn is trying to leverage specific commitments out of some of the candidates.
Well, you'll recall that I said the progressive priorities that we came out with after 2004. Those have continued to be priorities. So when we've done virtual town hall meetings, I believe we've done one on healthcare, Iraq, and it's asking all the candidates to talk to MoveOn members about these issues. I think we did energy too, but so our objective was okay. The primary season has started very, very early. Let's see if we can get everybody in that primary group talking about these issues that are front and center for our members. And that's been the strategy in the early phase. And for example, with the healthcare, Senator Clinton had not yet come out with a healthcare plan that was clear, and the other Edwards and Obama had come out with fairly aggressive ones. And we had MoveOn members, emailing and saying, we're really hoping you're going to be doing this and this. And she did come out with a healthcare plan that the MoveOn membership, because we want whoever the candidate is to have these issues and have them in a form that our members can support. Yeah, it's really painful having to support a candidate where there isn't real enthusiasm. And that's the position we've been in at times, and we would like to avoid it if possible. So we are trying to move that conversation, and it's good for creating some culture change, because the more you get the conversation going, the better. And it's also good for ensuring your odds that if you can get whoever has that plan right.
Have you tried at all pledges? Because I think there's a gap sometimes between people talking about the right thing and people committing specifically to do X or Y. I mean, it can be harder to get them to do it, but then you sort of have a benchmark when they are elected to hold them accountable more than discussion in a way.
Well, having them have come out with the equivalent of a position paper, would a pledge take them further? Maybe. Maybe that's something to do too. That's certainly worth looking at.
Okay. We have a couple more questions. I'll take some of
that. I wonder if you could just talk a little bit about how you're thinking about expanding the base for Moms Rising, or getting people, inviting people to participate who might not have been active in the past, because I'm guessing the strategy is different than it was for MoveOn. But maybe not.
It is different, because that lack of front page issue. Certainly with the SCHEC work this week, it's MoveOn style, tell all your friends, and let's make sure that the next time this vote comes around, that they know there's going to be a real political price to pay if they don't vote for healthcare for all kids. This is an opportunity to educate people about what's going on with healthcare. But, we have on the Huffington Post the Peaceful Revolution, which is it's every Tuesday. It started with a week long, every day afterward. And some of the top thinkers in the area of work-life issues, and they're writing about a host of things. Yamaha Herrera wrote about the Ledbetter decision. I don't know if people here are aware about the Lilly Ledbetter case, where a woman worked for Goodyear for 19 years. She realized at a certain point that she was the only woman manager. She was getting a lot less than any other man in her position. She sued. She got a large settlement. It went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decided she had not filed in time. they had to be within 190 days of the first discriminatory paycheck. Which, if you know anything about, I mean, how many people know that they're getting discriminated against early on in their employment? Okay, so, but it's really important to, you know, so writing about that, getting that into the culture and thinking about it. Bob Drago just wrote a piece about how, in fact, working less is takes less energy, and it's a green thing to do. I like that. I hadn't thought about that before, but I'm into it. I think it's a good idea. So that's part of the culture piece. You have to go with the book, go with the DVD. And also, you know, Move On doesn't have, you know, a five-aligned organization. But, you know, we just started to look at how we can collaborate with all these great groups. I want to see us doing something with the AARP, because a lot of people are taking care of their elders as well as their children. And a lot of elders are taking care of their children's children. You know, the opportunities for shared work are just profound. Now, you know, Bob Thrive, of course, has the disadvantage of not having the pockets to move on, so many of these things take a little bit longer to achieve. But got some amazing women that have volunteered and set forward. It's very cool.
Your choice.
You get to be in charge.
I get to ask the last question.
Yes.
I guess Jerry. Jerry has the last question.
As you look forward to the next 5 or 6 years, I know that you mentioned over the last 5 or 6 years you were a bit surprised and dismayed about how much spam has grown to make it harder for your message to actually get all the way through.
Yes.
So as you look forward to the next 5 or 6 years, what would you see as the major threats and the major opportunities to the whole idea of using the tools you've used to organize and get people engaged in issues that they consider important?
Well, certainly the, you know, overcrowding of the online space is a huge threat. But at the same time, you have these networking places like MySpace, like meetups, like, you know, Facebook, where there may be other things we can do that would be, you know, equally exciting and draw people in. And there's cell phones, text messaging, and IM. So it's time to experiment and to try things out. Hopefully, ultimately, we really only have about 50% of the electorate participating, which is, frankly, a very poor showing for democracy. Our democracy is not, that's not robust. And I want to hear those other voices. And so we need to make ways for them to feel like it's worth participating and that they want to participate.
Thank you. Thank you very much.